Welcome to Process Breakdown, where we get proven and successful entrepreneurs to reveal step by step what's currently working behind the scenes in their businesses. Sit back, relax, and take notes as you discover how today's guest has been able to systematize their entire business so that it runs successfully without their constant involvement, like a well-oiled machine on overdrive. And here is your host.
Hi, my name is Owen McGavinauer, and welcome to episode 104 of the Process Breakdown Podcast. Want to discover the steps it takes to build a systematized business? A scalable business that runs predictably on systems you have created? In this interview, you will discover how my guest was able to automate, systematize, and build up to a six-figure business in 1 year. You will also discover how she implemented an internal mentorship program for new hires, how she was able to replace herself in her business, and much more. And now, let's get started with the interview. My guest today is Tasha Mayberry, and she is the president and co-founder of Social Media 22 LLC. Tasha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Owen.
So this show is all about getting entrepreneurs like yourself who have been able to successfully, like in your case, you've been able to systematize your business so it runs without you successfully and you don't have to be there all the time. So let's give the listeners something that would encourage them to wait all the way to the end of the interview and basically listen and learn all the stuff you'll be sharing today. So what are some mind-blowing results that you now experience as a result of, you know, going through that process of systematizing and automating your business?
Well, we can think of two things in particular. Well, first, we created a six-figure business in 1 year, which is pretty mind-blowing. And also, by systematizing the business, we really saw the results once everything was efficient. And in return, we actually got 100 word-of-mouth referrals, probably over that by now. So those are the two main mind-blowing results that we can share.
That's awesome. Going to a six-figure in just a year, that is awesome. So how will you say, as the company itself being transformed as a result of systematizing your business?
Well, let's see. There's multiple things. First and foremost, I could easily work 12-plus hours before. It was only myself, my business partner, who was my husband, and we did hire one employee eventually. But 12-plus hours a day, working on weekends, just totally consumed, which is fine because we loved what we did, but it does get tiring. So now that we have a good team in place, we're able to cut that down to 8 hours or so and travel freely. And, you know, for example, I'm visiting my parents in Maine right now, and we took all of yesterday to drive. So now we have that freedom. And, you know, more important than our time is really making the clients happy. So once we have the systems in place, you know, the work is done with high quality results, efficiency, the customers appreciate that. And then in return, they always refer business to us, which is our model for growth. So it all works hand in hand. And lastly, the cost. It's really helped us reduce cost. Our employees are very efficient. We don't get caught up with a lot of back and forth. We know exactly what everybody's roles are doing. So in the end, we're saving a lot of money on payroll as well.
That's awesome. So, I mean, systematizing the business is not just only a benefit to the business. I'm wondering, how has your personal life been transformed as a result of actually systematizing your business?
Well, as I mentioned before, not working as many hours, which is wonderful. You know, having the ability just to say, okay, we're going to take Friday off and, you know, we don't have to work this weekend. It's just a luxury to know that your business can run on its own, you know, with our team in place, without you having to be there, you know, 100% of the time. And my business partner is my husband. So that alleviates a lot of extra stress that, you know, we don't need. So it's just been wonderful.
Yeah, you mentioned stress in the marriage. And I'm wondering, can you kind of compare because we want you to be free and emotional here on the interview. So I'm wondering, before you systematize it, what kind of stress on the marriage were you experiencing? I'm just wondering.
Oh, yes. I can give an example. So, well, I would start work very early, both of us. At the time, you know, we recently had a baby and we bought a house now. But before, we were living in a studio apartment, which was literally one room, and we were working almost side by side because that was our office as well. So it was just very stressful being in that closed environment to begin with. But I would start working very early, 8 in the morning, and it'd already be 8 p.m. And of course, husbands get hungry. So he was really big on family time and unwinding and just me still sitting at the computer 10, 11 p.m. and not having dinner on the table. You know, it was something that really couldn't be avoidable because we had to get the work done. So it caused some tension. But now it's just a lot better. We don't have to do all those long hours and we can really separate our family time from work.
That's good. And I'm on the side here muting the mic so I could clear my throat, but it's not working. So I'm going to have to cough on the record. But anyways, since you have systems in place in the business, I'm wondering, and basically it runs without you, I'm wondering what's the longest time you've actually been away from the business?
Well, we're very hands-on. I choose to be very hands-on. I like that. But we do travel to Russia sometimes up to, a couple times a year. My in-laws are over there. Last summer, we stayed for about 36 days. And I was able to, here and there, take a client call and check some emails, but not be totally, 8 hours sitting and working. So that was really nice. It could probably go longer than that, but 36 days was the longest so far. But what's nice is we can travel multiple times throughout the year. So it's not just like taking off a full 6 months, but maybe multiple times, taking a week here, 10 days here, a month here. So it's been really nice.
That's awesome. So let's give the listeners some context regarding your business. So what exactly does your company do, and what big pain or problem do you solve for your customers?
So we work with a lot of startup companies or new businesses that want to get to the next level, whether it's product-based companies or service-based companies. And we provide web design, SEO, marketing, PR, really the whole shebang. And what's unique is we have an all-in-one approach. So we don't just focus just on social media. We really start from the ground up, starting with defining the business, the target audiences, the branding, designing the logo, the website, the SEO, and then moving into the actual marketing, PR and media outreach, social media marketing, blogging, you name it, we do it. So it's really nice to have all of that under the same roof. So companies don't either have to hire internal teams to do all this work and pay, a lot of money in payroll, or just hire multiple companies on the outside. They can just, work with us and have it all in one place.
So how many full-time employees you have?
There's 5 of us in total.
And is your company profitable? What was last year's annual revenue and probably what you're planning to do this year?
Yes, gratefully, we are profitable. And last year was closer to about $300,000. And this year we're on track to be about $500,000. And so, yes, we are profitable.
Congratulations. So let's, we've talked about kind of the benefits of you having systems in place, being able to free yourself from having to be bogged down by work and being able to travel and stuff like that. And the business runs without you. But I'm sure that it wasn't always like this. So take us back to when the business was not systematized and automated like it is now. What was wrong with it?
Okay, so, well, my background is actually legal studies. I went to school for it. I was almost on my way to law school. So when the market crashed and I wasn't able to, find good work, I had to think about, okay, what else am I good at? And that's when I really landed into, marketing and PR. So I don't have a degree in it or anything. It's completely self-taught and self-discovered, really. And I'm happy that this all happened because I truly, truly love what I do. But anyway, when we first started, we really didn't have anything in place. We just learned as we went and created systems, as we saw the need. So in the beginning, it was okay, having a couple clients, you could tend to all their needs and have a little extra time to figure things out. But once we started getting 10, 15, 20 clients, that's a whole different ball game. So you really need to be efficient, have all hands on deck, because you can literally, waste all day answering emails, not waste, but spend all day answering emails, and then you never get to your projects and things don't move forward. So that was one of the big things that I noticed. I was constantly just in my email box without getting other things done. So that caused a big problem.
And you said you had fielding multiple questions from employees and not being able to answer clients. So scaling basically made the need to actually, the fact that you were growing and scaling kind of had brought issues with it that, you had to change things around. So I'm wondering, was there a specific low point or a specific thing that happened that comes to mind that basically you were like, at the time when that happened, you were like, nah, I have to change things around? if there's something, you know, share it. Let's learn from the story.
Yeah, well, luckily we were proactive. Immediately when we started getting backed up, or definitely when we started hearing some feedback from some clients, that wasn't all positive. You know, we met as a team and really made changes quick, because as a company, you only have your reputation. And once that's damaged, you know, word can travel fast. So we knew we had to take action. But yeah, so as soon as customer expressed a concern, we would, you know, develop a plan to fix that immediate need. And we'd also communicate with our clients, just being honest and upfront. Hey, you know, we're growing as a new business, but you're important to us. You're our core client. Just making sure that they know that. And if they can't get me through email, because sometimes it would take me a couple days to respond, which is a long time. Now I can respond within an hour. But back then I said, if you do need me, you know, feel free to text or use Google Hangouts. So giving the clients, you know, another way of contacting me was really helpful.
Yeah, so I get that there was not a specific moment where things just broke down and, you know, that it comes to mind that you can say, oh, this was what happened. But you mentioned that when customers would complain, is there a way you can just share maybe one or two complaints that they had then, so that we can kind of see what that complaint prompted from you guys in response to taking action?
Oh, sure. Yes. I remember one of our second clients, a lovely brand that we worked with. They were spoiled because they were with us since the beginning. So, I mean, we would literally answer their emails and their requests probably within minutes. So then when we started to grow, they noticed, okay, we're not answering, you know, we were still answering within a couple hours or whatnot, or maybe like the next morning if it was later in the day.
Yeah.
And they came back to us and said, we notice a difference in communication. You know, answer almost immediately. And of course, that's not practical. You have to set expectations with your clients that you can't always answer immediately, but that was what they were used to. So we just had to set the new expectation that we are growing, that they are important to us. And then what we did was we added our employee to all of the emails. So when the clients email me, we don't want it to get bottlenecked, you know, by me not answering.
Yeah.
So by adding another employee, it's a safety net. So if Giselle sees that I didn't respond, she can hop in there and make sure to respond, or she can ping me through our chat system and then ask me to respond.
Okay. I just wanted to kind of give the listeners an example of something that happened and kind of the direction you guys took to kind of solve it. So what would you say back then was the very first step you took to systematize your business?
Let's see. The very first step was just defining everybody's role. We were a new company, and we could talk about our mentorship program later.
Yeah.
Where we actually train each employee on how to do everything throughout the company. But once they're an actual employee, they have a defined role. So just understanding what everybody does was the first step. But we didn't want to really get stuck in the whole, you know, typical corporate way of functioning. Like, okay, you're in just this one spot and you can only do this.
Yeah. But
it's still important to define their role. Mm-hmm. And then we looked into tools like Dropbox instead of, because in the beginning we were just emailing everything back and forth and using our email to capture the records. And then we'd save the documents on our own personal machines. So there wasn't like a cloud storage where, you know, everybody would just be able to access it. So that was an important first step.
So defining the roles, and then next start thinking about tools that would allow everybody to collaborate on the cloud. And so, on online. And so mm-hmm. What was the second step you took to systematize the business?
Well, we started identifying the problems, you know, thinking about, okay, if customers are complaining about these things, you know, why are they happening? What can we do better? Mm-hmm. And creating the action plan for that. To really correct that, because of course customers, you know, customer service is most important. And then we just used the action plan to bring on the tools and resources that we needed.
Great. And so were there any other steps that came to mind that you took back then besides the ones you've shared with us so far?
Well, just overall, like sitting down, especially bouncing off it with the team has helped, but identifying the issue, you know, like I said, finding outside tools and resources to streamline mm-hmm. the work, and just creating that plan and executing it was the way that we systematized.
Okay, so how do you even, you know, because there's a lot of things that you had to do, but I'm wondering, how did you prioritize what other steps to take? You know, how did you decide what systems or processes to create first and what to create next? You know, was there some reasoning behind how you engaged finding the solutions?
Yeah, there was. Since we do so much at our company, you know, from the web design all the way through to the marketing, mm-hmm. we started with what the feedback from the customers first. So we started with the needs of the customer. That's always most important. And then we thought really proactively, like, what else can fall through the cracks, and, you know, try to, you know, have a plan in place to avoid anything else happening, whether it be with communication or our work product, whatever it was. So that had helped.
Yeah. And so I'm also wondering, like, back then, how did you even document procedures or processes for the business? You know, what tools did you use in this whole documenting how, you know, you guys work?
Well, as far as documentation, we use pretty basic tools, Word documents, you know, our procedural manual saved as a PDF. But sometimes the most basic tools are the best. And of course, we have email. And we use Google Hangouts chat internally, since we are a virtual company. Instead of buzzing the next office over or peeking in an office, we just, you know, ping in a chat and it pops up on our screen. So that works very well. And then also our internal mentorship program for new hires has worked tremendous. That has helped.
Look, now that we're even talking about the mentorship program, let's just go in and just talk about what exactly it is.
Okay, sure. So what we've found by searching for, you know, as a business owner, especially me, where I have so much attention to detail and I like things just right, it's really important to pass it on to your employees, empower them to sort of be like mini yous if possible. So we developed a 3-month mentorship program, and it's a wonderful opportunity for the candidate and for us to make sure that it's a good fit for both sides. So it's, you know, positive for them too. So what happens is we hire them on and we train them on everything in the company from, you know, beginning to end. And they really get a chance to learn hands-on in that 3 months and show us their work. And if they excel, then we bring them on as an employee. They get the sign-on bonus. You know, they start at $18 to $22 an hour, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole concept of it. And we can know right away if it's not working, which is nice. There's a trial period in the beginning where there's an agreement. If it's not working, you know, you can let them go. And it's nice because if you hire somebody on full time, 2 months later, it's not working, you've already wasted, you know, full time payroll and things of that nature. So this is, it's worked out really well.
And so even at that time when you were working on, you know, systematizing and automating the business, I'm wondering, were there any books or even mentors that had an influence on you and why?
Oh, definitely. So I absolutely love Brendan Burchard, amazing author. He has amazing programs. I just read all of his books. Jeff Walker, he has an amazing book called Launch, which really helps to teach you to take your one-on-one client work and turn it into a automatic service that runs on its own, or a product, or whatever it may be. I love by Rhonda Byrne. That has been very inspirational to me and just how we live personally and how we run our business. And I've actually based my new book, you know, off The Secret, which is really nice. And then also, lastly, a book by Rachel Luna, Successful People Are Full of Crap. And it and then each word stands for something. So you should definitely look it up. It's a wonderful book.
Okay. And so from a system standpoint, which of them had the most impact, you know, to try and educate you on how to systematize the business? I'm wondering which of those three, four books?
Probably Jeff Walker's Launch. Okay. He really teaches you how to take your expertise and put it into like an automatic product or service that you can just, you know, at first build it, whether it be an ebook or a newsletter series or video course, whatever it may be, and then have it run by itself. So you're sort of working with, you know, thousands of people at once, but without you, you're one-on-one. So that's really probably the best one.
Okay. So is that one teaching you how to take a service and productizing it so that it's done the same way regardless of who the person is? It's not like customized service. Is that what that book was teaching?
Yeah, it's like how to launch something. So for example, we're creating a video course, PR Star Bootcamp. So mm-hmm. instead of us doing one-on-one PR services, the client can just go through that bootcamp course and they can do it themselves or hire someone to do it. So it's nice.
Okay. So what is the biggest challenge that you experienced you know, because the thing is, if we only talk about the things you did to systematize the business and don't talk about the challenges you underwent or during that time, it will look like, you know, we're not saying, you know, giving the full picture. So what was the biggest challenge you actually experienced initially when you tried to systematize the business, and how did you solve it?
Okay, well, the biggest challenge is probably replacing me.
Why?
I built the company from the ground up. A lot of what we do was self-taught, self-discovered. Mm-hmm. We're just very creative over here, which is nice because we're all learning new things that you can't learn in a blog or pick up a book, and we're just doing it differently than other firms, which is nice, which means the clients have different things that they're putting out. So yeah, that was probably the biggest one, and just the knowledge that I have, but you can pass it on. So that 3-month mentorship program, I would, you know, take some time and, you know, really train the candidate. Our other team members would help out. I would refer them to articles that I've written, and also our employees too. They can reference the articles that I've written, you know, the books and things of that nature.
I don't want to gloss over the whole thing of, because it sounded like, you know, letting go and having someone take over was a challenge. I'm wondering, you know, why was it much of a challenge though?
Well, let's see. So, well, the company, of course, is our baby. So you just want to make sure when you do have those systems in place, whether it be your team or whatnot, that the end product is still going to be just as good, because, you know, this is your business, this is your reputation on the line, and you know, the client's most important, and their mm-hmm. happiness, and, you know, we would never want a client to be unsatisfied and leave us or anything like that. So, you know, it took a little bit of trust in the team, trust in the systems, mm-hmm. but it has worked out very well.
Yeah. And what was the second biggest challenge you experienced when you initially tried to systematize the business?
Probably deciding what tools to use. There are so many different tools out there. You get inundated. They all sound so great. And then I know taking the time to do demos, it's very time consuming, but it's worth it. You can actually see what the tool does and match it up. Is it really what you need? So we had to really do that to determine which tools are best.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, did you discover anything when you were, you know, searching for tools? Did you figure out a way to, like, so you had like a bunch of different tools, a way in which to kind of gauge which one was the best one for you to use without having to, you know, go through the entire demo and stuff?
Well, sometimes we would basically make a note of exactly the type of tool that we needed and what we want it to do for us. And okay. then we would go onto the website, and you can always go to the features and benefits page, and they have good bullet points. So just make sure that as long as that tool covers what you need, then it's probably a good tool for you. If it's missing something, I would move on to, you know, find another tool that has that.
So the shortcut is, you know, come to the table with all the things you need from a specific tool and see, okay, which of them kind of covers all the things you actually need. And that's kind of the quick decision way to say, okay, I'll go with this one.
Exactly. Yeah. And don't settle on the first thing that you look for. I mean, there's so many different options. You know, really take, even if it's 15 minutes, just to do a Google search and see what's out there.
Yeah. Were there any other challenge that we've not talked about that you experienced when you were trying to systematize the business? You mentioned during the pre-interview something about having a quality team. What was that, and how did that play a role?
Yeah, so that's most important. You want your team to mirror the values of the business owners and just work, you know, just as hard. And luckily, we've been totally blessed with an amazing team. You know, they don't just clock out at 5 and say they don't care. They're like on 24/7 and they're just all in. So we've been, you know, very fortunate. And I believe that the 3-month mentorship program really helped us identify these type of employees. So I keep mentioning that, but it was just so helpful.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I'm wondering, how did the idea for the mentorship program come about? Was there something that prompted it, or?
Well, as a startup, we had, you know, we were making money, but of course, you always want to save money where you can. And in the beginning, you know, we just didn't want to hire someone and pay full salary. We wanted to do a test run. We initially called it an internship, but using that term attracted people that wanted to do the internship. And yes, they wanted to do well, but then maybe go back to school or go on to something else. And we really wanted someone to do well and then stay with the company. So that's when we changed the wording to 3-month mentorship. And that really just changed the whole feel of it. And we make sure during the interview that, you know, they are looking to move on with the company.
Yeah. And given all these challenges that you mentioned so far, I'm just wondering, why did you even stay committed to the goal of systematizing your business?
I'm sorry?
I mean, given all the challenges you've mentioned, I'm wondering, why did you stay committed to the goal of systematizing your business?
Well, and I used to be the vice president of marketing and PR in the insurance world.
Yeah.
And I actually gave that up to start a business with my husband. Best decision we've ever made. But it wasn't easy, you know, leaving a career with benefits and all of that.
Yeah.
But the business is our baby. It's our livelihood. We love every second. We love what we do. So there was never a thought of giving up. You know, we'd always make it happen.
Yeah. So let's come to a more recent time in the story, because we've been talking about the past as what you did to systematize it. But I'm wondering, at what point in time in the story did you feel like the business was systematized and it could actually run without you successfully?
So we've been in business for 5 years, going on 6. So probably a couple of years into it. I mean, the first year we were already starting to systematize it, but by the second year we had our employees in place and we were really on a roll. So I'd probably say about a couple of years into it, but we definitely started in the first year.
Okay. And so one of the things I like to always do is give my listeners kind of behind the scenes of, you know, your business, how it currently works today. So let's use an analogy like a conveyor belt. So imagine on one hand is somebody that needs an agency to help them with their, you know, PR, social media and stuff like that, right? That's a company that needs that help. And then the other end of that conveyor belt is that same company or someone from the company. They are raving about, you know, the work that your company does for them and how they like using you guys and even probably even referring you guys new customers. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering behind the scenes, you know, what are the different parts of your company that comes into play to make that transformation for this customer happen? And feel free to, you know, start from even how you find this customer in the first place.
Okay. Well, I mean, it starts with my husband and I as the business owners, of course, and then our managing team. And then, of course, we have the processes and the tools, the customer service part, daily and weekly tasks, I guess the results and the reporting, and then the feedback. So it comes all back in a loop. But as far as getting clients, did you want me to touch on that too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, so as far as getting clients, so that starts with great service to your current core clients. You just want to just be the best. I mean, you can always go get more clients and make a ton of money, but really just focus on your core clients instead of trying to get 20 new clients. So that's what we really did in the first year, especially. So once you did really excellent with them, got them results, had case studies, then their referral is probably the next step, the word of mouth that they're telling everybody. And then after that, people are contacting us saying that they heard us from a specific client. And then, of course, we thank the client, maybe even give them a card in the mail with a $20 Starbucks card, something of that. And then they refer more because they, you know, appreciate those little things. And then us just reaching out to the person that they referred to and, you know, starting the process of finding out how we can help them. So I guess that would be how we get our clients.
Wow. And so I'm also wondering, like, okay, we've gone through some of the systems you have in place, mentorship, that, you know, that to enable the employees know exactly what they need to do. So you have that mentorship program that you go through, and you have some other tools that you guys use. But I'm wondering, is there anything else that we've not covered so far that would also help to let the listeners know what you guys have in place to let the employees know what they need to do, besides the stuff we've talked about so far?
Let's see. So, yeah, we do train them through the mentorship, which we talked about. You know, they learn all the ropes from beginning to end. So I just wanted to touch on that again. Instead of just learning exactly what they're going to be doing, teaching them, you know, more than that is, you know, they appreciate it because they're learning first and foremost. But also later down the road, if you need more hands to help with blogging, for example, they already know how to do it because they were trained during that mentorship program. So it just helps the team really work together and help each other. But we do, you know, with each new client, we follow the same process, except for the custom strategy, graphics, content, things like that. So that has really helped, not really changing the foundation, I guess you could say. But of course, the content, everything would change. So that underlying foundation staying the same has, you know, really helped things be efficient.
Okay. And so regarding tracking and verifying the results being delivered by your employees, what measures do you guys have in place to do that?
Well, we do give constant feedback. We don't really believe in like a formal yearly review where we sit down and, you know, give them a report. We're sort of like a modern company, very open, flexible. So instead, we just give them feedback right on the spot. So they're really learning as they go. So we do that. And also just recognizing the reports from the clients. So we give clients a report and say they got 1,000 new fans on Facebook for that month. We know that our social media associate person, you know, is doing a great job. Or if we got them in a couple magazines and on TV, then I know that Giselle, who handles the PR, is doing an excellent job. So that really has helped. And we also have timesheets. I should mention that as well. They submit their timesheets and they log their hours. So we'd be able to see, you know, the type of work they're doing and how many hours. And it just puts the whole efficiency in perspective. Are they doing things efficiently, you know, with their time and work productivity and such?
Okay. And so since you have all that free time now, you know, because you've systematized the business, I'm wondering which specific area in the business are you now focusing on now and why?
Well, we started a magazine, which is very exciting. So we launched a magazine and, you know, we get a lot of advertisements and spots because there's a catalog in that magazine for products. And we do work a lot one-on-one with clients, which we do love, but that takes a lot of manpower, a lot of time and payroll, just everything. So about a year ago, you know, we said we have to work smarter. So that's why we started creating things like, for example, the PR Star Bootcamp course that's going to be coming out soon. There's also a marketing course that we're going to do next to essentially teach everything that we do and that we've learned on our own to other people. Okay. Yep. And of course, my book just released the book, Dream Big, Achieve Bigger, 7 Steps to Attract Anything You Want. That's on Amazon right now. So that's pretty exciting.
And that's all awesome stuff because you, for instance, writing a book, you wouldn't even have the chance to write a book if you didn't have, you know, freed up time to actually do that. So
that's exactly.
Yeah, that's good. And so what do you think, what is actually the next stage of growth for the business? You know, what do you plan to achieve next and why?
Well, we want to bring on 2 or maybe 3 more team members. We do like to grow gradually to make sure each and every client is taken care of. That's most important. So bringing on a couple more people. Also, we work with a lot of startups, people that are just starting out, and that's why we really keep our pricing competitive for them. They don't have much cash flow, so we'd like to work with bigger companies, medium-sized or to even large companies. So we're working on that currently. Since we do have the team in place, we can definitely handle that. And continuing with the magazine, which has helped a ton with exposure. And really, we want to get back to doubling our revenue each year, which we did in the first couple or few years. So that's another goal.
That's awesome. And so as we come to the end of the interview, I'm wondering, the listener who's been listening all the way to this point, what would you say is the very next step they should take in order to transform their business so that it can actually run without them, just like yours does? What do you think is the very next step they should take?
Well, just take a step back and identify, you know, are you getting hung up on emails all day long, or is there a lot of back and forth and unnecessary work? Identify those areas of work and see if you can turn that into like an automated product or service. Could be a ton of one-on-one work with clients where you could really automate that, whether it be a newsletter that helps them or video course or whatnot, just like we're doing with our, you know, bootcamp course. But just looking at what you're doing now and see how you can transform it, and also having a great core team and quality employees. You definitely want someone that mirrors your values in business, and just get people that are really on 24/7, not literally, but just, you know, if they were called upon, they would be totally, you know, for it.
That's awesome.
And also, and also the mentorship program. That is just has worked wonderful for us, and I would recommend anybody doing that. And I forgot to mention before, we start them off about like $10 to $15 an hour. And then after they excel, because they kind of have to prove themselves for that 3 months, then they sign on with the full salary after the 3 months.
That's awesome. And so as we come to the very end of the interview, I'm wondering, is there a question that you would you were wishing I would have asked you that I didn't get to ask you yet? Go ahead and pose the question and you would answer.
Well, let's see. All your questions were amazing. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. Another question. Let's see. Probably, I would say setting yourself up for success in whatever you do, your personal life, setting up your systems for your business, going into it first, believing and knowing deep inside that you can do it, you can make it work, eliminating all the self-limiting beliefs inside, and just having gratitude for the littlest things. If you're just grateful every single day, then you'll attract more things to be grateful for, and even in your business. So that's just one thing that I would like to add, because it really has helped us.
That's awesome. And so now I'm speaking to you, the listener who's listening all the way to this point. If you've enjoyed this interview, I wanted you to do one thing. Go ahead and leave us your honest feedback on iTunes. To do that, go to this URL. It's a short URL that will direct you to iTunes podcast channel. It's sweetprocess.com/iTunes. I want you to leave us your positive review or your honest feedback, hopefully a positive one and a 5-star review. And if you're at that stage in your business where you're tired of being the bottleneck in your business and you want to get everything out of your head so your employees know what you know and you can actually assign tasks to them and track them all the way to completion, well, feel free to sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. Tasha, thanks for doing the interview.
Thank you so much, Owen.
And we're done.
Before you go, we want to leave you with a free gift. Get your free systemization checklist. Avoid wasting valuable time documenting procedures for the wrong tasks. Get it right the first time with the systemization checklist. Download the checklist by going to sweetprocess.com/checklist.